It is that powerful name of Jesus that gathers us together every single Sunday. And it's the powerful name of Jesus that I want to talk to you about this morning. If you have your Bible or if you have your phone or tablet, whatever it is that you look up the scriptures on, I want to invite you to go ahead and find Psalm chapter 42. The Psalms are a great place. If you want to look for a place with evidence of thanksgiving, which this happens to be this weekend, happy Thanksgiving, by the way, the Psalms are a great place to find people that pour out their hearts to God. And sometimes they do that out of an overflow of just joy that they can't keep inside anymore. And so they pour out praise to God. And sometimes it comes in the form of struggle and trial and turmoil. And in the midst of pouring out that struggle and that trial and that turmoil, these people that God enlightened to write down these Psalms, they end up starting with struggle and turmoil, and they go into thanksgiving. It's amazing how God leads the hearts of His people. This week, as I was thinking about thanksgiving, as probably you were, you know, sometimes we don't get much of a chance to pause and just think about what's coming up until maybe Monday when you wake up and it is Thanksgiving. But this week, I got to pause a little bit, partly because I was preparing for this very message, and partly because I just was able to have a quiet moment in the home office, in the basement, and just say, God, it's been hard lately. Like, there's just been some hard things that we feel like we've been trudging through. And so I said, God, what can I be thankful for? And I just was still and quiet before God. And He said, you can be thankful for me. I said, okay, God, I'm thankful for you. You can certainly be thankful for your family. I said, okay, God, yes, you're right. I am so thankful for my family. God, I'm so thankful for my church family. You guys have no idea how often God puts you on my heart throughout the week. And I pray that He puts other people in your church family on your heart throughout the week. But I can thank Him for my church family. I can thank Him for a job. Like, and I have the best job in all the universe, just so you know, okay? Being a pastor is the best job in the whole world. I can thank Him for work. I can thank Him for a home. Not just a house that gets us out of the weather, but a home that Rachel's made for us. And He said, you can thank me for how I work in the trials. That was one of the last things. I didn't make it past that one because I said, God, really? Thanking you in the midst of trials? He said, yeah, because I work in the midst of them. He said, if you'll do that, this will give you hope. If you'll do that, this will give you purpose in the trial. You won't just wait for that trial or that circumstance to change. You won't just exist until things change for you. You can have purpose and hope in the midst of it. It gives us the confidence and assurance to be grateful in the midst of trial, hardship, circumstance, versus being thankful when we look back only. It's good to look back and say, God, thank you for how you brought me through that. Thank you for how you brought our family through that. That's good and that's right. However, it's not the only time that we can thank God. We can thank Him in the midst of pain and suffering. We can thank Him in the midst of these things because He's God. Because He is sufficient for us. Because He is the God of all comfort that He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And that He wants to comfort us so that we in turn can comfort others. This is who God is, South Winds. Sometimes, many times, I don't really experience that because I forget to say thank you in the midst of it. You know, we have some other church family that are going through some hard things. Marilyn Keene on Tuesday is about to have a couple of very, well, painful, could be painful and not fun exams performed on Tuesday. Okay, we need to pray. We'll send out an email for you to pray, but we need to pray for Miss Marilyn on Tuesday, okay? She's had lots of health issues, and so the doctors are trying to get to the bottom of what's going on with her, but that's why she and Sid haven't been here very much over the last couple of months. It's because she's been going through some trials, through some adversity, physically. Earl Clark, you prayed for Earl this week. He had a knee replacement surgery. Did you know that that knee replacement surgery was a result of something that happened in 1969? That Earl has had a bad knee. I don't remember how many years that is, but that's a long time. And he's getting a knee replacement. He had a knee replacement surgery, which went well. Thank you for praying. You know, and the thing that I love about God's people is when you visit with them, which I got the opportunity to visit with both of those individuals, and I said, I'm just so sorry that you're having to go through this. And both of them, without missing a beat, you know what? It's okay. God is good. For Earl to say, I'm just thankful that they're going to give me a new knee. I know it's not going to be a fun process, but I'm thankful that I get a new knee. For Miss Marilyn, Bo, I just hope and pray that they find out what's going on, and I'm thankful for some doctors that are trying to figure it out. Being grateful in the midst of trial. You know, what I'd love to do right now is just, would you pause with me for a moment and let's just pray? Can you do that with me? God, we are so grateful that you are so good, that you are the God of all comfort. And we just want to lift up Miss Marilyn to you right now in particular. God, as she goes in for these tests on Tuesday, Lord, that you would just be her strength. God, that you would give the doctors eyes to see what is going on with her. And Lord, that God, whether you want to use the doctors or you just want to place your healing hand on Miss Marilyn and just heal her completely, Lord, we ask that you, for relief from the suffering. And God, we thank you that in the midst of hard times, that she can still experience your goodness, and her soul can still thirst for you. And God, we thank you for a successful surgery for Earl, and we pray for his continued recovery, God. And we just pray that you would continue to give him opportunity to share about the hope that he has in you, even in the midst of hardship. Lord, we are family, and it's your son and what your son did for us and has done for us that makes us family. And so, Lord, I just pray for anyone else going through hardship, for anyone that needs to know your goodness and your comfort this morning, God, that they would know it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can thank God in the midst of any sort of circumstance. That it's not just one day a year, it's not just when things are going good, it's not just when I look back on the valleys that I have gone through, and maybe I've gone through a valley and I've just peeked over the other side and I'm able to say thank you. Those are all right times to thank God, and they're not the only times. That when it looks like a dip begins to come, God, thank you that I don't have to go through this alone, because I know that you won't ever leave me or forsake me. When I feel like I'm at the bottom, or I feel like this is a never-ending pit that I just keep falling and falling and falling and falling and falling, God, I want to say thank you. That even amidst the fall, that feels like there's no bottom, that you're there. Let's read Psalm 42 together. I'll read aloud. You can follow along. Starting in verse 1. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while all day long people say to me, "Where is your God?" I remember this as I pour out my heart, how I walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. So this is a psalmist pouring out their heart because something has happened and they're not able to be in the temple anymore. And this is, the person that wrote this psalm is a part of the Levites. And these is the part of the Levites that led song, or that led music in temple worship. Right? Aren't you guys thankful for the people that lead us in song on Sunday mornings? Doesn't it help so much? It helps us focus our hearts and our minds and our attention on God and on who He is and what He's doing and what He has done. And the person that wrote this psalm was a part of that kind of worship team that we would call today. Okay? The piano player, maybe they were. But they were saying, God, I long to be in the temple worshiping with your people again. Something had happened and they weren't able to be together to do that. He said, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. And he's calling God the God of life. God, you are the source of life. You are the one that is worth living for. You're the only one that's worth living for. So in the midst of this longing to be with God's people in the temple, to worship God where he dwells, the psalmist cries out to him. Verse 5, he says, "Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. I am deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep and the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? My adversaries taunt me as if crushing my bones, while all day long they say to me, where is your God? Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God." So the psalmist is going around, he's going through, and he's writing all these things down that have been really going over and over in his heart and in his mind, and he's writing these things down, and God has preserved it for all of history so that we can read it in 2018 and know that, man, when I go through hard times, I can tell people, you know what? Yes, I'm going through a hard time, and yes, God is my Savior, God is my source of life, and it doesn't mean that this hard time just goes away. What it means is God is with me through it. And I want you to know that you still can place all of your hope in God, because I'm going to do that. It's the exact same thing the psalmist says. Is, why am I so depressed? Why am I so down right now? Circumstances aren't great, but I will always say God is good. And I will always go to worship him. He goes on, and scholars say that Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 really are meant to go together. So we're going to go into Psalm 43 quickly. Psalm 43, the psalmist says, "Vindicate me, God, and defend my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? Send your light in your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then I will come to the altar of God, to God, my greatest joy. I will praise you with the lyre, God, my God. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God." So if you notice, that was kind of a repeat refrain. So this person writing the psalm can't help but almost write it like a song, okay? Write it like a poem. And they always come back to when he says, "God, I am looking to you for vindication of my enemies. God, you are the victorious one. You are the God of life. I don't know why you're letting these guys run roughshod over me, why you're letting these guys persecute me the way you are. So God, I'm asking you to vindicate yourself, as you vindicate your servant." So one, this person is going to God for vindication, going to God to be the one to resolve the issue. It's the first thing they do. The second thing they do is they look forward to worshiping again. Although they can't see their situation changing anytime soon, they don't know that, you know what, God, if I can just make it till Friday, things are going to change. The temple's going to be back. I'm going to be back playing my lyre in front of all these people, and we're going to worship you together. They don't know that. They don't know when things are going to change, but they let their hope drive them. "I will come to the altar of God, to God my greatest joy. I will praise you with the lyre, God my God. I am going to sing to you. Whether I'm in the temple or not, I'm going to give you praise. In the midst of a situation that I really wish would change, I really wish that I could go back to where I was. I really wish that things would be different in the future." And again, he ends the end of Psalm 43. "Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God." Now, you may be thinking, I'm so glad that I came to Southwinds Church on Thanksgiving just so we could talk about trial and adversity and all this kind of great, happy stuff, right? So the point, guys, is that not that you come to church in order to be brought down. The point is that no matter what we're experiencing, that we can thank Him. And I hope that you came in today, and by the way, that we were singing earlier this morning, I think you came in ready to give God thanks. You were ready to say, God, man, I ran out of that grave, and it was because of you. God, you are the Lion and the Lamb, and you are worthy of praise. I can remember two of the five. I'm really sorry. I don't have any more. Music is not my thing. This is more my thing. But you came ready. And I just wanted to make sure that on Thanksgiving weekend, that yes, we acknowledge that, you know what, when things are going great, that we have God to thank for that. And if you came in ready, if God has changed you, like somebody shared with me this morning, Sunday used to be my worst day of the week. Now Sunday is the best day of the week for me because of what God has done, what Jesus has done for them. He set them free. And now they come and they worship with a church family that loves them and loves God, supports them. Maybe that was you today. Maybe today you walked in and you were heavy with burden. Maybe you walked in and you thought, God, maybe you weren't even thinking God anything. All you were thinking was, I'm here. Maybe I don't even know why I'm here, but I'm here. And I'm glad you're here. And God can work in the midst of whatever it is that's weighing you down. And He can lighten that load. And we see that remember that very first verse of Psalm 42. Braden, can you bring that first verse up again of Psalm 42? Thanks, man. No matter what I throw at this guy, he's got it. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? This is what drives us. Braden, I threw it at you, but you didn't hit it. Okay, we're good. We're good. You can listen to it. I was like, something's happening here. Everybody's smiling. All right. Just remember, as the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. That is the sort of thing that the attitude of the psalmist is what drove that psalmist back to saying, you asked me why I'm so down. Why am I so depressed? God, why search my heart? Why is my soul feeling so dark right now? And even in the midst of that, even in the midst of this trial that leaves me longing for the past or longing for a different preferred future, that I can say hope in God. Tell Him thank you right now for who He is. This is the key to thanking God in the midst of trial and remembering that He is at work. Even when we can't see it, He's at work. Let me tell you a story. There's a story that comes from a book called The Pressure's Off by psychologist Larry Crabb. And he uses a story from his childhood to illustrate our need to delight in God through adversity. He says, one Saturday afternoon, I decided I was a big boy and could use the bathroom without anyone's help. Any parents in here shudder at that thought? A little bit. You crave it and you shudder it, right? Okay. I was a big boy, could use the bathroom without anyone's help. So I climbed the stairs, closed and locked the door behind me. And for the next few minutes, felt very self-sufficient. Maybe even like someone sitting on a throne. I thought it was funny, but... felt very self-sufficient. Then it came time to leave. I couldn't unlock the door. I tried with every ounce of my 3-year-old strength, but I couldn't do it. So I panicked. I felt again like a very little boy as the thought went through my head. I might spend the rest of my life in this washroom. My parents and likely the neighbors heard my desperate scream. Are you okay? Mother shouted through the door as she couldn't open from the outside. Did you fall? Have you hit your head? I can't unlock the door, I yelled. Get me out of here. I wasn't aware of it right then, but Dad raced down the stairs, ran to the garage to find the ladder, hauled it off the hooks, leaned it against the side of the house just beneath the bedroom window. With adult strength, he pried it open, then climbed into my prison, walked past me, and with that same strength, turned the lock and opened the door. "Thanks, Dad," I said, and ran out to play. "That's how I thought the Christian life was supposed to be," says Dr. Crabb. "When I get stuck in a tight space, I should do all I can to free myself. And when I can't, I should pray. And then God shows up. He hears my cry, 'Get me out of here, I want to play,' and unlocks the door to the blessings that I desire. And sometimes he does. But now, no longer 3 years old and approaching the age of 60, Dr. Crabb says, "I'm realizing the Christian life doesn't work that way, and I wonder, are any of us content with God? Do we even like him when he doesn't open the door we most want opened? When a marriage doesn't heal, when rebellious kids still rebel, when friends betray, when financial reverses threaten our comfortable way of life, when the prospect of terrorism looms, when health worsens despite much prayer, when loneliness intensifies and depression deepens, when ministries die? God has climbed through the small window into my dark room, but he doesn't walk by me to unlock the door that I couldn't budge on my own. Instead, he sits down on the bathroom floor and he says, 'Come sit with me.' He seems to think that climbing into the room to be with me matters more than letting me out to play. I don't always see it that way. 'Get me out of here,' I scream. 'If you love me, unlock the door.'" Dr. Crabb ends with this. He says, "Dear friend, the choice is ours. Either we can keep asking him to give us what we think will make us happy, to escape our dark room and run to the playground of blessings, or we can accept his invitation to sit with him, for now perhaps in darkness, and to seize the opportunity to know him better and represent him well in this difficult world." Yeah, that's good perspective. And sometimes it's people that maybe have experienced a little bit more life that are able to have that type of perspective. However, when we're shared perspective like that, let's not waste it. To know that, man, you know, sometimes God, we are in a dark room with a locked door that we can't get out of, and we've got that panic rising up within us, and all we want to do is yell for somebody to come help us. Sometimes that help comes in the form that we don't expect. That it's someone that just says, "You know, I'm not going to open the door right now, but what I am going to do is sit right here with you. I'm not going anywhere." Sometimes we are like the little child that just wants to get out, get out, get out. Sometimes we are that little child that wants to get out of the room at 3 o'clock in the morning again. And mom and dad have to say, "No, you can't go out of the room, and I will sit right here with you. I know it's dark, but I'm here. You don't have to be afraid. I'm right here. Nothing is going to happen to you." We can accept his invitation to sit with him for now. Maybe it is in darkness, and we can seize the opportunity to know him better and represent him well in a difficult world. You know, another story was told about Dr. Gardner Taylor, pastor in New York City and also a seminary professor who teaches preaching, and he shared a story with his students one day about his preaching experience, and he happened to live in a different part of the United States at that time, and it was during the Depression era, and he was teaching in a very rural community where electricity was just getting towards some of these buildings, some of these places. And this little church building had one light bulb that hung in the middle of the room, and that was all the light they had. It was an evening service, so a dark had fallen. They had the light on. And he said, in the midst of the message that I believe God wanted these people to hear, he said, something happened to the electricity. The light bulb went out, and he said, "It threw me. And so I began to kind of stutter and keep mumbling through, wondering, should I proceed? Should I get somebody to go try to get that light back on so people could see me?" And he said, all of a sudden, one of the leaders in the church just piped up in the midst of one of his very pregnant pauses and said, "Preach on, preacher. We can still see Jesus in the dark." Settled right back in, finished the message. And God could speak even in the midst of darkness. People could still see the hope and light of Jesus even in the midst of darkness. Southwinds, I hope that today you are here and you're encouraged. I hope that you are here and saying, you know what? I'm not going through trial or adversity, particularly right now, but man, I want to remember that when I am. Hope that's your story today. I also hope it's your story today if you are going through deep, dark adversity and trial. If you're going through really tough times right now, I hope that you read Psalm 42 and 43 and you can say, God, I can still put my hope in you. I can say thank you even in the midst of this. God, just because I say thank you today doesn't mean that the trial is over, doesn't mean that the circumstance has changed. However, God, it reminds me that I need to thirst for you and long for you like a deer pants for the streams of water in an arid desert. You know, one of the ways that we've been instructed by Jesus to say thank you is to remember what he's done for us. And what he did for us was he went to a cross much uglier and gross and heavy and awful than the one that we display here. But he went to a cross for you and for me. He came down out of heaven. He was born in this world that has pain, this world that has struggle, this world that has turmoil. And he lived a sin-free life. It wasn't a life without pain or struggle or temptation. However, he lived it sin-free. And he did that so that he could release you and me from captivity, from slavery, the slavery of sin, that is, choosing to go my way over God's way. And when he went to that cross and he gave up his last breath and they put him in a tomb, that everybody thought, it's over. The Savior, this great teacher, the Messiah, he's dead. But us, we get to look back on that story from this side of the cross. And we know that 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, declaring victory over death. Because he did that, Jesus himself has instructed us, don't ever forget. Don't forget that I did this for you. That I've gone back to be with my Father in heaven. However, one day I am coming back. Jesus will come back for his bride, for his church. And we need to live sent until then. We need to live representing him well in a hard world, thanking him in the midst of blessing and thanking him in the midst of adversity.